there! Are you sick and tired of having a rusty old door that refuses to swing freely? Do you own a 1970s department store with a revolving entrance that offers too much resistance and is affecting your trade? Then look no further than the new revolutionary Warrington Right Edge Defence bracket technology! With the new Warrington Right Edge Defence painted engineering, expect any door to swing easily off its hinges. Even the slightest gust of wind will see your door flapping back and to as if the entrance doesn't exist. And with the Warrington Right Edge Defence revolutionary engineered ball bearings, your shop's revolving door will let anyone in. In fact, at times it'll spin so fast it will create its own mini tornado. Order before midnight and receive your free Mike Cooper engraved fulcrum. A technology so advanced, it's guaranteed to leverage its way past any antiquated, incompetent, sticky situation. The new Warrington Right Edge Defence bracket technology. A wafer-thin system you can trust.
Yes, welcome back to What Would Brian Bevan Say? I'm Rob Sunny London, and it's great to see summer has finally arrived in the UK. So talking of sunshine, where are my two warm and welcoming podcasters? Firstly, a man that's a heartwarming seasoned professional on this show, no doubt about to bring us his summertime statistics, it's Sam, June, July and August, all rolled into one, Sankey!
Hello, Rob.
And also a lad that embraces the hotter months with nothing more than a pair of shorts, a string vest and an ice-cool Timothy Taylor's, all while sitting in his deck chair. Yes, it's Dennis, Knotted Handkerchief Waywell!
Nice.
How are we, boys? How are we? We'll start with Sam. He's got a little smirk on his face. I'm not sure that's a smirk of sarcasm. We'll find out. How are you, mate?
I've got over my worst part of the week.
Yeah. Dennis, already got your head in your hands, your eyebrows up like Roger Moore. How are you feeling, son?
I'm feeling absolutely fine. No surprises for me here today doing this. It's a good job the summer break's coming up, isn't it?
Oh, that's good. It's like metaphorically we're on the top of a roller coaster at the start of this podcast. I'm just wondering where this roller coaster will be by the end. Will it be down in the chasm in the shitty, you know, water flume, or will it be at the top still? What do we think, boys?
Well, looking at my fails and unexpected, it's all downhill.
Well, I'm in a good mood, boys, because I'm off on holiday next week, so nothing has put me down. Actually, when I watched the game, I was almost chuckling to myself. I could see that holiday coming towards me, thinking I don't have to do this shit anymore for a month. So I was
for the rest of the podcast listeners, he's been bombarding Dennis and I with little films of where he's going on the east coast of Australia. Makes you sick.
I must open them.
Right, then let's move on to the Castleford Cup review. The Wire team was the back line: Ratchford, Charnley, Mamo, King, Lynham. In the halves, we had marquee player Flaky Blake Austin and Gareth Widdop. Front row was Hill, Clark and Cooper. In the back row, we had our captain Hughes, Curry and Davis. Interchange bench was Mulhern, Philbin, Akawala and Walker. Here's the highlights.
Tangi smothered Shane plays it quickly on Brian.
Is it?
That's his own club. And Gareth O'Brien scores. Nice little pass out of the back. Edwards has got a top one here. Shot it to Thomas. Castlewood here and make this a contest. Win a punt to Curry. Curry sets it down. And Austin, lovely hands. From the pass from O'Brien, it's a work in for Jesse Sonnenfeld. Cats have lift off once again. They do like this fluid style. It's a good Toby King. Toby King. It's a man to the
He's got there.
King.
I think he's got there.
Just a score for the numbers on that left. Truman played out the back, Evels falls up, trying to put a hat trick. Truman has scored! And Manchester got his treble! Is Castleburn pouring forth again? That wraparound player fades a lot!
Now, you know I go on about sound quality all the time, boys. And I mentioned to you before we actually started recording this podcast about the BAFTAs and how they'd made a perspex plinth. And when people came up to give their speeches, they kept tapping it and you could hear it. And there was an article in the paper about the sound quality at the BBC has gone downhill. If anyone's listened to those highlights, the mixing of the crowd with the commentator, gee, it's poor with the commentator. The crowd is too loud against the backdrop of the commentator. And I didn't notice it until I put that edit together. So
they've not been used to a crowd for 12 months, that's why.
I think it is. I mean, there wasn't anyone there. So I don't know why they got the two levels wrong. But anyway, there you
Pity
go.
Pity Sky can't do that, innit? Drown out Barry and Terry.
We did a vote this week, boys. I've not got the figures in front of me, but basically it was on who we think is the best production company showing rugby league in the UK at the moment. We gave three options: the BBC, Sky, or Our League app. BBC came out on top with 60%. So,
right.
Yeah, I actually we'll get on to the result, but the first 10 minutes when we weren't losing, I actually thought the new commentator, or at least a commentator I'd not heard before, Matt Newsome, was very energetic.
Well, I have to apologise to Matt Newsome because I've been in contact with him. We've had a few little chats back and to, and he's into Young Henry's beer, which is where my sister-in-law is the marketing manager of. And I'm trying to get him because he lived out in Newtown in Sydney for a while and he loves Young Henry's beer. He's not a Timothy Taylor's fan, and I'm trying to send him some over. But it's not that hard to send liquid through the post, it turns out.
So. Yeah, isn't it?
No, he's from Nottingham.
Quite interesting.
He's from Nottingham. He's not, okay. Yeah, he wasn't born in the rugby league. Well, I guess there was. What was that team in Nottingham called when they had a little go in Nottingham? Do you remember that? Answers on a postcard. There was a team in Nottingham in the 80s, but I can't remember what they were called. Okay, right, on to the game. Well, the first try came in the 16th minute, so we should probably talk about what led up to that first try. The first 15 minutes, Sam, were you sort of confident with the way things were going?
I thought it was even Steven. I thought we were making plenty of yards to begin with our forwards, but they kept spreading it wide and making yards with their centres.
Were they doing that in the first quarter, were they? They were still throwing it about, were they?
Yeah, they were. I felt we had a couple of chances where they'd made a couple of early errors. We had chance to score, and as always with our team, you feel like if we score first, we get a bit of confidence, but I dread it if we go behind.
Mm. It's a bit like that the Ben Curry try at Wembley that wasn't against Hull at the end, wasn't it? Just sort of reaching for the line, didn't quite get it down. Mm. Dennis is looking pretty confused. We should all also mention that this week, Dennis, having seen the sort of draft of what we were going to talk about tonight, pointed out that we hadn't spoken about Salford, to which Sam and I clearly pointed out to him that, yes, we did talk about Salford at length last week, Dennis. So it's a bit of a worry. Do you remember any of the game?
I do remember bits of it, yeah. I think I was drinking Timothy Taylor's at the time. So, you know, that was going all right. Yeah, I just felt like with this game, we said last week, didn't we, that you know, this would be a rollover. This game, this.
No, you did, Dennis.
Listen, anyway, during the week, I was like looking at the pictures, and there was lots of pictures of the Castleford team enjoying the sun, playing around, looking like they were part of like a group and everything, and they just looked like looks good, getting excited about the weekend, and didn't see anything from Warrington that week building up to it. I got a funny feeling, and I did send out a little WhatsApp message before the game started, suggesting that I think we might be in a bit of trouble.
You know what, boys, we need to get off WhatsApp. It ages us by 20 years.
Why? What's we done now?
We need to get on Messenger or some Instagram Messenger or something. We need to try and like upbeat this show. We're up for an award. We can't start going on about WhatsApp.
I've only just learned how to use WhatsApp. Don't give me something new to learn. Christ's sake.
16th minute, former Warrington player Gareth O'Brien shows and goes close to the Warrington line and bravely gets over. He converts his own try and it's 6-0. Was it a case of here we go, Sam? This is it. Here we go.
Well, I'm going to actually take you back to the play before, because I'm, as we go through here, I'm going to single out 5 crucial errors that I think summed up our whole game, and they weren't directly...
Are you going to criticise players, Sam?
Oh, yes, I am today.
Oh, my God. Jesus.
I'm not saying anything now.
Gareth O'Brien scored a try basically by ducking under 2 tacklers who weren't quite ready. But the play of the ball before, we'd been a bit unlucky. Chris Hill had put pressure on Truman, if you remember, and it was given as a knock-on because he touched the ball when Truman was trying to pass it. When Nathan Massey of Castleford played the ball, Ben Curry was still taking water from the trainer, and Mike Cooper had just taken water from the trainer and wasn't looking at the play of the ball. And they were our 2 markers. So straight away, McShane comes out from dummy half and we're going backwards. Straight away. Mm. Error 1.
Have you been north of the river this week, Sam? Because you said dummy half then. You dropped your H.
Well, the noutier I get, as my dad used to say. He was from north of the river.
Really? That's what happens, is it? You move over the swing bridge.
Are we saying that we need a hydration tackle bag idea where we can strap the water and the waistband of the shorts and then they don't need a water trainer to come on?
Possibly, yeah.
Could get why don't we get the trainer that comes on like some form of, 3-wheel bike? What are those things called that you zoom around on with the handles? What are those things?
Bikes.
Mobility scooters.
You've got one of them, Rob, in the garage.
My daughter's got one of those, those hoverboards that you float around.
Listen to him. He's talking about advancing from WhatsApp. He doesn't even know what one of these bloody wheelie scooter things are. Jesus, come on, carry on.
The bloke who owned them, the bloke who designed them, went over the cliff, didn't he? He died from it. Can't think what the.
He died from it.
Yeah, well, he went over the cliff.
Hey, just a sec, before we move on, actually, I've got some...
Have we moved on? I think we've just stagnated.
I've got some big south of the river news.
Oh. Oh,
Jesus. They're changing the constituencies in the elections, and Thelwall is likely to move into Tatton.
Oh, hear, hear, Yeah. 20th minute, Marmo Mike finds himself in a sticky situation, smearing himself all over the Castleford player, and he's sent to the pantry for 10 minutes. So Brian takes the two from the resulting penalty, and it's 8-0. Not much to say about that, really. Wasn't much Marmo Mike could do, was there, Sam? He was in a tricky position there.
Well, I disagree.
Oh.
I disagree. And again,
this is the new Sankey. I like this. Sam. Come on, Sam.
Again, I'll take you back to the previous play the ball, which was error two. From inside their own half, Paul McShane notices that we're short on our right edge.
Notices or not notices?
Does notice. And they suddenly have a 4-on-2 overlap in their own half, which sends Oliver Holmes clear. I mean, awful.
Olivia.
And then Marmo might could have done something, because if he gets off there and if we concede one try, we're still 13 men on the pitch. But what he did was, well, frankly, it's what lots of players do. It's not just him. He tried to keep the man down. No other option. Automatic yellow card. Just dumb play.
It's not looking good, is it?
It's not looking good at all. We're only at the 20th minute. Sam's already kicking off. This is ridiculous. 25th minute, Castleford create numbers on their left and Jordan Turner is in. O'Brien converts from the touchline for a 40-0 scoreline. Oh, it was messy, that right edge, wasn't it? It's like crocodile teeth, the way it sort of goes up and down. I'm not sure which one it was, because there was one of those tries down the right-hand side. The BBC cameras zoom in too much and we never quite get the view from behind the sticks. But I'm convinced that Hughes and Austin on one occasion must pedal back nearly 20 yards as that ball's coming to the left.
Yeah, they don't look like they've got any cohesion there, do they? And it looks like when they're under pressure, they're trying to solve things individually. I've got another moment on that later on. They were making hay. And it's not the first time we've been conceding down our right edge far more than our left.
What was the difference? You know, a few weeks ago, and, you know, I'm at this stage now where can we just let Flaky Blake go? Because he's offering absolutely sweet FA compared to what he's giving away. He's out there flailing with his hands again. He's constantly pointing to the person outside him or on the inside, where he's not really committing himself to anyone and he just pedals backwards. And then we got Hughes, who is a shadow of the player he was, who not bending his back. I think there's a try in the corner in the second half where Hughes kind of just watches. He's a yard away and he just watches them try and push him over the sideline. And then you've got Charlie on the wing, who he's stuck between I don't know what he's doing. He tries to commit, he floats in off his line, never gets to the player he's trying to tackle and leaves his winger completely exposed with an easy run in. I mean, that Jordan Turner went to Canberra for 12 months and didn't get one start in the first team. And he was made to look like a world beater against us. But I reckon you could have scored those tries. You know, I mean, okay, Austin nearly put him in the stand on one occasion, but it wasn't anything on Jordan Turner's part that was scoring those tries. It was just the fact that Charlie's coming off his wing, Hughes isn't bending his back, Blake Austin is flailing around with his hands. And then I think it accentuates Mamo's inequality in the centre when he's got three around him who are not tackling. A few weeks ago, Sam, we lost Austin. We got Ratchford out there at six and we didn't have Hughes. Who was in instead of Hughes?
No, Hughes had come back.
Hughes had come played, back. Did he?
Yeah, but then he did miss one game, but I think the one you're talking about was, or maybe a couple in a row, we went to Hull and looked strong, and then we went to Catalans and we looked strong, didn't we, on that side. In fact, the whole team were playing as one line, including the right-hand side.
What are you making of it, Dennis?
Well, I mean, I'm just looking at that try again, and the space was made in the middle of the park with a couple of players being drawn in to just sort of try and tackle someone, and then you've got an overlap and it's just, you know, a finish on the end, isn't it? But am I reading the right one?
you can look at any of them, they're all the same. They're pretty much a mirror image.
Yeah, yeah, but I mean, look, we're approaching half time here. We're basically three tries down. We haven't got a sniff other than that first 10 minutes where it looked like, you know, it was anyone's game. Mm. This just typifies the fact that, for me, they wanted it more than what Warrington did. And I mean that in terms of intensity and application, wanting it more. And I think that was it. You know, we got to half time, or we're getting to half time by something else. But, you know, I think the actual intensity of what Warrington were playing, it just dropped off. I mean, that was just shown in all the defensive videos. I mean, I spent 3 hours watching this today because it was in slow motion.
29th minute, Turner cruises over for his second in the corner. This time the conversion is missed and it's 18-0. And then right on the stroke of half-time in the 39th minute, Paul McShane with a hidey-high drop goal and it's a hoody-ho 19-0 half-time score. Sum up that last 10 minutes, Sam.
Well, I want to get in error three. We're a man down, we're struggling, and Flaky Blake kicks it dead to give them a 7-tackle set, from which the second tackle, Matautia just waltzes through Mulhern and Cooper, and suddenly that leads to their third try. That's the third crap error. Instead of kicking it over the side or into the corner, he kicks it dead and gives them 7 tackles when we're already struggling and already a man down.
What do you think of Flaky Blake then, Sam? Are you in agreement with Rob here on this one in terms of, like, you know, that's an off?
I am. Look, you know that I'm a lot more grey than you two. You're black and white with what you think, and I'm a lot more shades of grey. He's a decent player. Well, he's a decent player, but Rob. Is he a marquee superstar? No, he's not. If he's on middling money in your squad, you think, oh, sometimes he can be great and sometimes he goes missing. But when you're paying marquee money for a Super League superstar, I appreciate it's not the same as NRL, but a Super League superstar, you're wanting them to perform 4 weeks out of five, and he doesn't.
So, you know, when you compare, like, previous years, I would say that Dick Patton's probably got a better kicking game than what Austin's got.
Yeah. Probably tackles better as well.
Mm.
I mean, I think you've hit the nail on the head, Sam. You know, that's how you have to sum it up, isn't it? You've got to look at, equate to what these players are earning in comparison to what they're giving out. I don't know where Austin's going. He's certainly not going to get the same money. I don't know, you know, the word must have gone round the NRL that he's underperforming in Super League. You've only got to watch him for a couple of weeks. And, you know, there's all this talk, and we'll come on to rumours a bit later, but he's not.
You've got Widdup next to him as well. It's chalk and cheese at the moment, isn't it?
He's going to be on a big pay cut wherever he ends up. I can't believe anyone's going to be foolish enough to pay him anywhere near what he's getting paid at the moment. Right, half time, second half starts, 44th minute, Curry stretches over, Ratchford misses the kick and it's 19-4. A glimmer of hope, Sam, a glimmer of hope.
It was. We had to score first and we did. And then, as you're about to say, we had to score second and we did.
We did. 46 minute, a debatable pass from Austin sends Mamo through a gap. He outpaces Niall Evels with an all in and out. Burst of pace to score. Ratchford misses and it's 19-8. I thought when I wrote that it was debatable. I've since looked back at it and I think it was probably okay. It was pretty flat. Mamo, your mate Mamo, Dennis. He got quite a bit of criticism, I noticed on Twitter, Mamo did, for the first time. But,
You know... The thing is with Mamo, let's, you know, when you think about the offense, I mean, again, that was another great finish, I thought, to a try. You know, you're turning the fullback around like that and taking him on the outside and things. His enthusiasm does get him into a bit of strife every now and then. He does jump out the line a bit, you know, trying to sort of like cut something out, and then he leaves himself open. But, you know, I take that for the fact that You know, most of the time his defence is okay, and offensively he's one that's outshone, you know, in a team.
And he's not on marquee money. He's on a decent wage, I expect, which makes a difference. 50th minute, another easy try for Castleford as Lefeo's in the corner, and the kick is missed, and it's 23-8.
Hang on, you've missed fourth error, glaring error by my pin-up boy. We've just got back into the game. They kick off, we take it, and second tackle, Curry passes into the fourth row of the stand.
I must have been asleep. I missed all. I didn't see the Austin kick into touch. I didn't see the Curry, but I was watching it on my side. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. So
yes, and by then you'd already given up. But we've just got into, and it was either miscommunication, because Lynham was 4 or 5 yards behind.
Did Lynham play?
Apparently he did, yeah. Or, which is possibly more likely, that Curry had agreed with Lynham, but he forgot it was second tackle that they were going to do it. But they were forcing the ball again, and they've just got back into the game. There's still 33 minutes to go, and they turn the ball over on their own 20-metre line, and moments later, they're behind again.
They are indeed. 53rd minute, Castleford's O'Neill is sent to the sin bin following awkward lift on Toby King. A minute later, King picks a gap to go charging towards the Cast try line, and his strength and determination gets him over to score. Widdop takes over the kicking duties to convert. We're kind of back in it, 23-14.
We are kind of back in it, but error 5, coming away from our own line again. This time Ratchford passes to Curry, they fuck it up, and they turn the ball over again.
Do apologise to the listeners.
And at this point, Castleford are down to 12 men.
Oh, this is the worst bit.
There's still 7 minutes to go of the sin bin. We're 23-14. We've been second best all game, but King's just scored. They've still got a man in the sin bin. And again, first possession after the kickoff, after we score, we fuck it up. And even more embarrassing, even more embarrassing, 3 plays later, Mamo jumps out of the line trying to solve a problem. He's trying to solve a problem because they've managed to get a 7-on-5 overlap. They're a man down and they've got a 7-on-5 overlap.
Yes.
It's almost like they've given up playing, hasn't it?
Yeah. Mamo jumps out of the line and suddenly they've got a 5-on-3. God almighty.
Wouldn't happen in ice hockey.
Well, it's worked once, it's worked twice. It'll work 3 times for the Tigers as Turner is over for his hat-trick. O'Brien converts and it's 29-14. I think Sam's just kind of summarised all that up. And then 62nd minute, Paul McShane cruises over following a kind of half-hearted attempt by Austin to tackle him. The 2 extra points are missed and it's 33-14. Shall I just keep going just to put us out of our misery? 64th
yes,
minute, Charlie is over in the corner and Widdop converts from out wide and it's 33-20. And then on the 71st minute, Castleford receive a penalty. O'Brien takes the 2. Final score, Castleford 35, Wire 20.
Any more fuck-ups, Sam, before we just complete that? Any more you want to add in?
Down here, I can't be arsed with the rest.
Well, we've had a record number. I can't remember what game it was last year, but last year we did over 200 messages, of which 199 were complaints about Wire and about the coach, etc. I've lost count. I counted yesterday, we had 267 messages. We're well over 300 now, boys. Only one person in those 300 has sent a positive message.
Excellent.
Was that Daniel?
Very different to the imbalance that was shown on the Warrington Guardian of comments that had come in, which seemed to be 50-50. So either the positive comments go to the Warrington Guardian or... that's not quite the way we're seeing it. I won't read any of them out. I mean, basically, it's a whole heap of expletives ranging from quite articulate messages through to say, you know, things need to change, all the way through to people dropping their H's and saying fuck a lot like Sam. So that's kind of where we are.
So when I look back at this, I did read a bit of a headline, probably the Warrington Guardian, but in the week coming up to it, and I didn't go ahead and do the research and look at what was actually said, but it was asking the question, what do Warrington do from here, being that we played against Salford that I completely forgot about and we won by 60 points. And the headline was written as, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, in terms of what Price's approach was going to be. And I just thought to myself, you know what, Darryl Powell is sat at home now knowing that basically he's just going to try the same again. In the first 10 minutes of that match, I think Austin put a kick through inside down the middle for Widdop, and I thought, oh, here we go. This is exactly what's been coming off for us for the last few months. Let's carry on with that. That was the only time that happened, because Castleford managed to close that down and fill the middle up on that. And then also that I think Castleford had done the homework and looked on our left edge and actually restricted the amount of, like, you know, attacking options that we had all the way through that match. So I think quite clearly, when you look at the coaching coming up into this, and this is exactly what my WhatsApp message said, I said, I can see this being a completely out-coached... my battery's running low.
Jesus Christ. I mean, let's face it, has your battery ever been charged since we started doing this podcast, shit. Dennis? To be honest. I mean, that's just the way it is.
If my battery goes, I'm off. Hold on.
Oh, good. Let's hope it goes.
There's no fails of the unexpected this week.
Oh, exactly. Please let his battery go. That would be great.
Anyway, while Dennis has gone to get his lead, I think he, for once, Dennis has probably summed that up pretty well. They did suffocate our attack. I do think that Powell did a number on our right edge. Wasn't rocket science, but he did. But I also think that the players, not just the coach, because I know a lot of grief comes in for the coach and as he lost the dressing room and all that type of stuff, but the players need to take a look at themselves as well. Because, as I've mentioned, there was umpteen individual errors there, and that's down to attitude and commitment, some of that. And whether it, and I'm not saying they don't care, I'm not saying it that way, I'm saying they've not handled the situation well.
You mentioned suffocation there. I've been in the hotel room where Michael Hutchins suffocated himself. Yeah, I was relocating Paul Hogan from the US to Sydney, and I had a meeting with him in the same room.
Was this when he had to come back to pay his tax?
Absolutely top bloke. Have to say, all the dealings I had with Paul Hogan, not got a bad word to say about him. Brilliant guy. Lovely, lovely guy. Down to earth. Are you sitting down, Dennis? Are you sitting down, Sam?
Yes.
I hope you as a listener are sitting down. Brace yourself. If you're driving, just grip that steering wheel a little bit tighter. If you're at home, possibly just take a drink. If you're out on your walk or your run, just watch where you're stepping for the next couple of minutes. Here's Daniel.
Yesterday.
Yet another big game, and yet another complete and utter bottle from Warrington under Steve Price. How many times have we seen this? The Challenge Cup final, 2018, against Catalan's raging favourites. The grand final against Wigan, that year, got ourselves in front. Second half, didn't score a single point. Then into his second year, you know, he gets his signings, Austin, Jason Clark as well. Yeah, all right, yeah, you know, we win the Challenge Cup with a good performance against St Helens in the final, but let's be honest, you know, we got lucky with the refereeing decision at the start. And then in the playoffs against Castleford, put in an absolutely shocking performance. 2020, first game of the season against Wigan, we lost. We lost in the Challenge Cup semi-final against Salford, didn't play the conditions right. And then again, first round exit in the playoffs, this time to Hull FC, who'd finished below us. 2021, first game of the season, terrible performance, another big occasion. And then we get another occasion game a few weeks later against Huddersfield, because it's the first time we've got fans back for more than a year. And we're 20-0 down at half-time. 2 weeks later, Challenge Cup semi-final against Castleford, who we beat a few weeks before. and we put in a stinking performance. Price can't legislate for players dropping balls and defending so badly, but you know what? It's the pattern under Price that we play this badly in the big games. Yesterday's Challenge Cup semi-final was the disparity in quality between two coaches. One who knew exactly what to do, slow the ruck speed down to nullify the threat of Daryl Clark. Try not to let Warrington have space on the left edge because that's where they're dangerous, and attack the right edge because Mamo, Hughes, Charnley and Austin as an edge cannot defend. And Daryl Powell did that to perfection. Warrington only looked dangerous when Gareth Widdop had his hands on the ball, and you can't win a game with one man. Same old story. Warrington not turning up in the big games under Steve Price.
Well,
Daniel's got a thing, hasn't he? He's got a thing about, like, occasional furniture. He kept calling them occasional games, didn't he? Like, you know, these important ones. As though, like, you've got some posh people. Oh, get the occasional furniture out. We want to put on a good show. Yeah.
I have to say I tend to agree with him, which my stats and my stats section this week could marry up with that quite nicely.
Well, without doing a caveat, Sam, we just want a clear, precise number. You've had Price at 10, you had him at a 9. Don't think he's dropped below an 8. What mark are you giving Steve Price now in terms of your reliability that you want this guy to continue to the end of the season? You were backing him with a 9.
Oh, sorry, for this season, and do I back him till the end of the season, you mean?
What number are you giving him now? What number are you
a
giving
7.
Him
I'm still giving him a 7.
You were giving him...
7. Oh, Jesus, I'm down to like 1, I think.
Well, looking at Daniel and his little soundbite he's done there, which I have to agree was excellent. Somebody's put that through a swear filter, because when I was looking what he was putting on Twitter, it was very different, using different vocabulary.
Wasn't he taking on half the supporters?
Yeah, he was.
On social
he
media.
He was on Facebook. He was on Facebook, yeah. Well, our defence was wafer thin. There's no doubt about it, it was wafer thin. So I had a look at what else is wafer thin, just to sort of give a comparison to see where the Warrington right edge defence sits. A Japanese school satchel is wafer thin. If you actually take a look online, they're renowned for being thin. Scrunch your face up, Dennis. A membrane, exceptionally thin.
And after what membrane?
Any insane in the membrane? I think that's the one we need to look at.
No, it's not. A ship's hull membrane can be quite thick.
An after dinner mint. You happy with that one?
Wafer thin.
Rodney from an early episode of Only Fools and Horses. The Mark Twain novels, The Adventures of Huckleberry Thin.
Ooh.
Oh, hang on. That's Finn, not thin, isn't it? I'll take that one out. Sorry.
Oh, yes. I see what you mean now.
The end of a wedge. There you go.
Thin end of a wedge. Yeah. Oh, is this Google? Oh, are you just going down Google?
No. This section.
Very thin. Very thin.
Yeah. Dave Munro, superfan, has written in to say his penis is very thin.
Oof.
That's nice.
Interesting.
Is that the one you were going to read out?
The epic war movie directed by Terence Malick, The Thin Red Line. An Irish band, Thin Lizzy. Their keyboard player, Eric Rixton, was a little bit thinner after he shat himself on stage at Manchester's Free Trade Hall in 1978. And the thinnest thing of all, Adam Hill's jokes.
So. And talking... while we finish off on our defence, now wafer thin our right edges... That is the third time we've played Castleford this year. They've scored 12 tries against us, and 10 of them have come against our right edge defence.
The wafer thin right edge defence. Another wafer thin right edge defence. Mm. I couldn't get another thing. I couldn't tackle another thing. Just a one more wafer thin right edge defence.
Do you think you need to tell our younger listeners what that was from?
Professor Brian Cox is set to step down from his role as head of particle physics at Manchester University, with his successor rumoured to be young statistician Toby King. King said he would be honoured to take Cox's mantle, going on to say he would treat the students like his own family and by the start of term endeavour to have learned his 2x table. In disappointing news, Netflix has cancelled a new show to be hosted by Ellis Robson. Robson was to star in a new travel programme entitled Around the Clubs in 80 Days. Unfortunately, research crew working in line with the UN has pointed out it was unsafe for Ellis to venture into war-torn areas like St. Helens and famine-riddled shitholes such as Wigan. And finally, the Challenge Cup final on July the 17th will welcome fans back to Wembley, albeit under government COVID restrictions. There are fears that a vast empty stadium with only a smattering of spectators will lead to a depressing, atmospheric chasm of the abyss. However, anyone that has sat in Club Wembley before is expected to notice no difference whatsoever.
Right, well, there are the headlines. Let's on to the stories. Jason Clark will be out between 4 to 5 weeks with a calf strain. He joins Greg Inglis and Matty Ashton in sick bay with Matron. Was he missed? Was he missed on Saturday, Sam?
Possibly a little, but he wouldn't have made any real difference, would he?
Lee Centurions head coach John Duffy has left the club after an 8-game losing run. Lee replaced Toronto Wolfpack in the competition in December, but are bottom of the table, having lost all their league matches this season. Duffy said, "Now it is time for someone else to step in and hopefully get the first win, and then some more. I'm gutted that my time is up. I had a good chat with owner Derek Beaumont, and we agreed that something needed to change." I feel really sorry for Duffy, Dennis. I mean, we've mentioned on this programme before, I think one of our titles a few weeks ago was How Shit Are Lee? You can't blame the coach, can you, with what he's had to work with the poor guy?
No, it's almost as if his opportunity has come too soon in a way that he's not been able to be a number two or something in Super League beforehand or something like that.
Lee are a number two.
Yes. And I think he's just found himself out of his depth, I think, when it comes to it. What can you say?
Who fancies a drink?
Warrington, I want to take you to a free bar. I want to take you to a free bar. I want to take you to a free bar. Free bar. Fee bar. Let's start a war. Start a Warrington war. At the free bar. Free bar.
Right, well, we're back at the free bar. We've had lots of people write into the free bar. We'll start with one. It's the only one I've got. I think Dennis has got someone who also wants a drink too. But I've got a gentleman by the name of MT. We'll work off his initials. He says, if Greg hamstringless...
I like that.
He's only on a low salary. How the hell are we at full cap when players such as Levette, Patton, Ben Murdoch-Masila, Johnson Kabula and Brand have all gone? Question mark. It seems strange when we only signed Robbie Mulled-Wine and from the TV show On the Buses,
I hate you, Butler!
Has hamstringless eaten all the money? He goes on to say Marmite looks a little bit like snooker player Ray Reardon.
Absolute nonsense with that last bit. But yes, I agree with everything else.
Where's all the money gone, Sam?
It's gone on new cones that they put out at training, I think.
Haven't we got someone who's going to step up to the free bar, Dennis, that knows about the new training pitch? Didn't we receive an email this week from someone who didn't want to be named?
Yes. So... just working it off the cuff here now. We can confirm that the new training pitch will be moving and it will be now located on a 4G pitch near Victoria Park.
Well, the university's closing, isn't it?
Oh, is it? Yes. Right. So,
and our new statistician got 22 grand, apparently.
Because it seems like
to spend on equipment.
Again, I think this particular, this guy in the free bar was pointing out, I think, that the guys coming over from Castleford have been really on a shoestring.
Yeah.
And coming over to Warrington, it's going to be quite an eye-opener, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. They do it pretty tough at Cass, I think, in comparison to the luxury of Warrington.
What were you telling me the other day about strapping up?
I think it was...
Not that story, the other one.
What other story? What, the strap on?
No, strap, yeah. Well, not that one, but you know what I mean.
Yeah. The lad, who was the lad that was playing...
talks like that.
Mathers.
When he went, he did a year at Cass, I think, after Warrington, and became pretty clear that he had to, strap his own ankles very early on in the Castleford training room. There was no one there to do it for him, like there had been at Wire. So, yeah. That's a really good story, that, wasn't it?
No, it was shit. And you know what? I'm a bit disappointed, actually, because looking at the free bar, we've not had that many people really.
No, we have. We've had quite a few. It was just hard to determine what was free bar and what was complaining about price this week. Had we let them all in, there would have been a riot.
So I was going to say, it would have been kicking off in the free bar, I think, in terms of thingy. When are we mentioning Cooper?
Yeah, well, let's mention Cooper at the free bar. So there was a little video went up this week from courtesy of What Bevan Technology, and there it was, Mike Cooper on his way after being coming off on the interchange. Sort of, I don't know what you want to class it as, but having some kind of collision with Mr. Price, to which then Stevie looks back at him if to say, what's going on there? And Cooper doesn't look up to apologise and just keeps walking.
Just to quote Steve Price, quite strange this one. From my end and Mike's end, there's no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, well, so, they've closed ranks, haven't they? They've closed ranks. Yeah. And that's what you're going to have to do, aren't you?
Yes, I think fair enough. It didn't look good, did it? It didn't look good, but if they say that now there's no issue, then we'll take that at face value. Or I will, anyway.
Yeah. But I think this slowing down technology, which has really ruined my week, by the way, because it's took me fucking ages to watch everything. It does extend, it does sort of like make it look worse than it is, because in real time, it doesn't look that bad, does it? It just looks like he's just walking off, and, the close, working together. But in slow motion, it did look like quite disturbing.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, God, this fucking podcast is going into slow motion, isn't it?
How dare you? I did a really good section on how thin things are. I put the Japanese school satchel in there and everything. Took me ages to do that.
Statistics, caveats, bollocks. Listen up, you norms. It's time for Sam to talk shite. For 5 minutes. It's Sam Sankey's shitistics. No. Dick's data. No. Anal cyst. No. Twat stats. No. Statistics. Yes. That's it. It's time for Sam Sankey's statistics.
Right, I'm going a bit off-piste this week. I've got a bit of a quiz for you.
Oh, shit, I'll be shit at this.
Don't worry, there's only really one question.
Excellent.
I started to reflect over the weekend.
On your life?
On the meaning of life, the universe and everything.
42.
Mm. Yeah, I'm getting on for 9 years past that. Anyway, I started to reflect.
Jesus.
And it was, is it Steve Price's fault? To which my conclusion is, not totally, no. Because I looked at what
Carl
I would,
Patrick.
I looked at what I would say was our best seven players over the last 5 years or so. So see if you agree with this. I'm saying Cooper, Daryl Clark, Chris Hill, Ben Curry, until this year, Jack Hughes,
Toby
King and Steph Ratchford. There are seven key players that we've been building the squad around. Yeah. And they're all good players. They're all good players. But I don't think any of them are great. And I looked at it and I thought, if you think of recent times, particularly Super League, if you took, let's say, Clark out and Ratchford out and put in Cunningham and Long, we'd have probably won something. Or if you took, let's say, Hill out and Hughes out and put in Peacock and Sinfield, we'd have won something.
Do we have to put Sinfield in?
No, don't have to. You could put in Peacock and Maguire, if you like.
Oh, thanks. Cheers.
Yeah. Or if you took out Curry and Ratchford and put in Farrell and Radlinski, we'd have won something. And I started to think, we, in my mind, have got a team of players who are good enough to be in a winning team, but they're not the ones who would be the key leaders in that team. And I thought, of those seven, what have they actually won? Well, we've won a few Challenge Cups and we've got beaten a few Challenge Cups.
I think Toby King's could be a great player.
Could be, but he's not yet. He's the youngest of that lot. But I put those seven together and I counted up how many medals between those seven. All right? So when I count up how many medals they've won through their career, and then I counted up how many Cunningham has won, how many Long has, Roby, Sinfield, Peacock, Farrell, Maguire and Rob Burrow and Radlinski. Where do you think those seven Warrington players come on a list?
Is this just rugby medals? This isn't for like winning the egg and spoon or out.
25 metre swim? Oh, that's a badge, isn't it? Mm.
Collectively. 42. So,
Radlinski's won four, that's three Super Leagues and one Challenge Cup. Roby six, Sinfield nine, yeah. Burrow and Maguire both won 10, identical records, eight Super Leagues and two Challenge Cups. Mm. Farrell's won 10, Cunningham's won 12, Peacock has won 13, nine Super Leagues and four Challenge Cups. Mm, right. Those seven Warrington players together have won 10.
Yeah.
So Peacock has won more medals on his own than those seven players, and so has Cunningham.
You could add one more medal to that lot, couldn't you? Because Stevie's won one medal. How many of the coaches those other teams won in medals?
Yeah, plenty. You could also, if you wanted, add World Club Championships and league leaders, and there's many Men of Steel in there. Or there's many winners of the Man of Steel, probably a better way to put it. And there's many Lance Todd Trophy winners and Harry Sunderland winners. There's none in our group.
How many of those players have worked with Steve Price?
Well, yes. But a lot of those players
also worked
with...
Steve has only won one medal.
A lot of those players also worked with Tony Smith.
Mm. Right. Yeah, right. You're talking about individual players, but you look at the teams that those other players come from. And this is what the point... I'm just going to make sure I'm not covering this later on. No. But the point is that the consistency... I am covering this later. The consistency of those other teams and their standards that they achieve and are higher than possibly what Warrington have had because... You know, this is the ongoing thing about Warrington, about, you know, this culture of it not quite working and
no,
so
I'm
on.
I'm saying, Dennis, I'm saying that those other teams are full of players like Cooper, Clark, Hill, Hughes, Curry, King and Ratchford, but all of them have got one or two players of the standard of Maguire or Sinfield or Cunningham or Long or Roby, and we haven't got those couple of outstanding players. We keep trying to buy them in.
So if those if those players that we've got had gone and worked under different coaches, would they become outstanding players?
I don't think they'd become any different players. I think
really, you don't think if Daryl Clark had gone to Leeds, he wouldn't have won 10 Super Leagues?
Let me rephrase that. I think they'd still be the same type of player. What I think is, they're the type of players that fill up the spaces around superstars, and what we've not got is that one or two superstars to lead these good players.
Play the music.
So you think if Daryl Clark had gone to that wonderful Leeds team, or he'd gone to that brilliant Saints team, he wouldn't have won?
Oh yes, of course he would. But just a sec, Paul McShane showed him how to play an all-round game on Saturday.
So you're not liking Daryl Clark anymore, Sam? You're saying
I am
he's
liking Daryl Clark. I like them all. I think they're all good. And I think perhaps I'll say they're all very good, but none of them are great.
What about the coach in all this? Have we got a better coach? Because he's only won one medal, Sam, our coach.
I've said before, I think he's okay. He's no better, he's no worse.
He's wafer thin, isn't he, really?
Is he 6 out of 10 now?
I'll add him to the section. I'll just put him above Japanese school satchel, Steve Price.
Good evening. Well, with the world nearly back to normal, hopefully this next apocalypse will come to an end also. Yes, it's time again for Mutiny on the HJ. I have to say, sometimes I think it would be best for everyone if we just admitted this sitcom was a mistake. I mean, if that spin doctor at Mr. Cummings can come clean, then hopefully the inquest into this clusterfuck of a drama isn't too far away.
Stevie, darling, I feel sickier than when Sky Sports announced they'd given Barry and Terry a new contract. Oh, these high seas are playing havoc with my equilibrium.
Oh, I know, Rolfie. We've been going up and down, more than that ringworm Richie Myler was when he was left on board alone with the players' wives.
And how is the Marquis of Inglis coming along? Is he still listing? I mean, I haven't seen him putting the bins out on the deck once this week. Even the ship's dog won't have a piss near his quarters.
Nah. Not until we reach warmer and calmer waters, Rolfie. He's staying in sickbay. He's a complete wreck.
Oh, what damnation. I just knew we should have had him scuttled. Now, Steve, I need to tell you something. I don't like the ship's vibe. I have to say, I feel that the Sailing Academy is a little down in the dumps. The players' crew quarters feels like a shitty Sunday afternoon in Castleford.
Oh, I know what you mean, Rolfie. Since Commodore Fitzpatrick gave Capsize King all the treasure in the hold, the players' crew have turned into a right bunch of cutthroat pirates. Even young watchman Danny Walker has been looking for a new purse.
Just offer him extra rations, Stevie, if he cleans the ship's scum line.
Gee, I didn't realise Zach Hardacre had stowed away.
My goodness, Stevie, if this weather cycle doesn't break soon, I'm not sure the ship's going to hold together much longer. How many life rafts do we have on board?
There's a deep-seated 8-man dinghy.
Well, that's all very well for Professor Broomhead. But what about for the rest of us?
I That's the only one there is, Rolfie. We didn't have room for any more. What with us having to strap all the players' 2022 contract demands to the side of the bag. It's sink or swim, Ralpho. It's sink or swim.
Oh, tackle sex. Had Commodore Fitzpatrick planned for this journey in advance, he wouldn't have burst our resilient bubble.
At least he's inflated his life jacket, Rolfie.
Yes, I guess it beats his overinflated ego.
Looks like we're doomed, Rolfie. We'll never make it through this storm. Shall I drop the anchor?
Oh, what a good idea. If I remember, you dropped the anchor at Catalans and we weathered the storm.
Mr. Price?
Yeah, what is it, Mr. Hill?
Can I just say, Pricey, it's been an absolute pleasure sailing under you.
Oh, gee, thanks, Hilly.
Oh, I do think he's delirious.
Aye, your repetitious mundane nautical tactics and a lack of creative sailing have been perfect for an old sailor like me. Come on, Michael, attach yourself to me airpiece. We're jumping in together.
Now, boys, there is no need to overreact. Just think of the treasure we could find together. Stevie's just entered a purple patch.
Are you talking about his piss-stained velvet mauve trousers?
Oh, sorry about that, Rolfie.
Oh, never mind, Stevie. It happens a lot when travelling, especially when you're incontinental.
Ah, fuck it. I'm off. I don't want to end up like that stiff, hollow, empty wooden figurehead over there.
Oh, well, that's no way to talk about Stevie.
Oh, Christopher, I'm right by your side, sweetheart. Come on, let's jump together. Let's go off with a big salty sea splash.
Hold on to me tight, Coops. We're going in.
The front row's sinking fast, Rolfie.
Time to batten down the hatches, Stevie, and see if we can ride this storm out for a month.
It's certainly going to be a challenge, Admiral Ralpho. There's some places to sail through that are really shitty.
Yes, Lee is a shitty place. Never mind. In the meantime, we can think about freshening up the crew, Stevie. Perhaps we should head towards the southern hemisphere. It might cure your blind-shotted scurvy.
Oh, gee, Rolfie, that would be sweet. I'll be riding this gravy boat all the way to Woolloomooloomooloomooloo.
Yes, and remember, keep Commodore Fitzpatrick off the carver juice. The last thing we need is his pissed-up impulsive buying again. And we certainly don't want him to bring back any more of those...
is a fascinating take on a dark subject, and it turns every which way. It can be shocking, it can be fun, which is sometimes also shocking, it can hurt and maybe even heal. No matter what, it's an unsettling revelation. That's a description of I May Destroy You, which was a big winner from this week's BAFTAs. As for this week's mutiny, I was exceptionally disappointed that there was no guest appearance by either Michael Fish or Wincy Willis.
Oh. Yeah, interesting. Well, that was... I'm taking that as, you know, being mentioned in line with BAFTAs, that's a positive, Rob. Yeah, what would you say?
I would say definitely, without a shadow of it. That's not a rumour, that's the truth.
Rumours! Everybody needs good rumours! We're the little understanding. You can find your perfect blend.
Rumours should be there for one another. That's when good rumours become good friends.
Jesus, I'm going to have to sing this at Lee as well. Christ.
We need to apologise, or I need to apologise. Last week, I'm not sure what night it was, I was lying on the couch. I'd just eaten an entire bar of family size vegan Aero. I pretty much wasn't even like, I was just sort of lying down. And a text came in from one of our moles who's close to the club telling us that Andrew Henderson had agreed terms with Lee as their new coach. I didn't check it, boys. I just put it out there. And it seems I may have jumped the gun. It may come true, but he's still at Warrington at the moment. So I can only apologise to all our fans.
You've got a habit with this, haven't you, with your fat fingers?
It's when I eat chocolate on the couch late at night. That's what does God. It. Daryl Powell wants Daryl Clark to stay. The board are backing Mr. Powell with them not releasing Clark from his contract until 2023. Powell has already had, apparently, the rumour is, 5 meetings with Warrington, deciding on which players are to stay at the HJ and which are to depart. And he's planning on living in a house on the canal in Lyme.
Oh.
Yeah. I wonder if that'll be Sutty's house.
Well, it could be, but we're going to... we're moving into Tatton, Lyme and Thelwall. Sutty's house, yes. Matthew Corbett's old house, wasn't it? The Golden Fleece.
Yeah. I think he wants... How much did he want for that? It was quite a bit, wasn't it?
It was a lot, yeah.
500 grand or something.
No, it's more than that.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to love that.
To make room on the salary cap, Flaky Blake is set to move to Leeds for George Williams to join Wyre this season. What are we thinking, Sam? Do we think that's going to come off, that rumour?
Leeds certainly want a player, and they certainly want a halfback because, as I understand it, Robert Louis is finished. He's injured.
Robert Louis is off to Huddersfield.
What we need is Flaky actually to play well for 2 or 3 weeks to make people interested in him.
That's true. Mm. That's all I've got on the rumours, boys. I think there's been a few more come in. You got anything, Dennis?
Just one. Rumour has it that Warrington will be installing gender-neutral toilets in 2022. The club confirmed that the project has yet to identify sitting or standing toilets in the design and would welcome fans for feedback on the subject. One fan, Ian Wollenholm, described it as taking the piss and a shit idea. He has since been offered the job of project manager for the project.
They're actually trialling it at the minute, Dennis, because the first two matches they've had only one toilet open, and it was a his and hers.
Yeah, there's lots of problems with gender-neutral toilets because women don't particularly like them because if there's a urinal in there, and
because they can't piss into the urinal,
correct. And I mean, you can if you try, but it's not pretty, I think, is the thing.
Do you remember Trough Boy in Amsterdam?
No.
Trough Boy in Amsterdam, it used to lie in the urinal and let everyone wee on him.
Oh, all right.
Lovely.
This is fetish.
And actually, there isn't a designated design toilet for gender neutral people.
What was that? You having a stroke?
It's time now for Fails or the Unexpected.
A wise man believes only in lies. trusts only in the absurd, and learns to expect the unexpected.
I personally think this story is funny, but if your sense of humour doesn't happen to be the same as mine, then I'm afraid you're going to be a bit disturbed by what goes on.
This week, we're looking at fails first. Jesus. Clearly, the fail of the week is missing out on the opportunity to go to Wembley and having the chance of winning the Challenge Cup. This year has been described as a transition year, with lots of players coming off contract and a complete change to the coaching staff. 2021 has been highlighted as a year where Steve Price can have his swan song and prove that he can deliver the Super League title. How confident are you both about that in 2021? So where does the problem lie? And this is what Sam was alluding to before. Is it with Stevie and his ability to drive consistency, making Warrington a team that is competitive week in, week out? Or is it the CEO, Carl Fitzpatrick, failing to appreciate the coaching limitations and the dynamics of transitional leadership? Well, I thought I'd look into the psychology of compliance. It's fair to say that we're living in an area of mass compliance with the COVID restrictions that brings with it a lack of creativity and critical thinking. It also makes it difficult to make decisions where the future of maybe uncertainty or the woke agenda, but we're seeing a demise in great leaders becoming compliant and not making critical decisions for change. So, will our 2021 season fail and our Super League title aspirations disappear? So I'm going to take you back now to a story in December the 5th, 1945.
Well, please
Five TBM Avenger torpedo bombers took off from Naval Air Station at Fort Lauderdale, Florida. The five planes, collectively known as Flight 19, were scheduled to tackle a three-hour bombing run exercise. You're with me. However, Flight 19 got into trouble and disorientated with the weather, and his compass, the squadron leader, led them further out to sea where they would never be seen again. It is said on
You've done this before.
This was last week's mutiny, wasn't it?
No, he did it in tackle bags about 20 weeks ago.
Oh, no. 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 No, 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 no. I've not got there yet.
They all carry on following him because he tells them to.
Oh, have I done that one?
You've done it.
Shit. This week's fail.
So what's the moral of the story here, then?
You've got fucking Alzheimer's.
So, well, all right then. With Warrington's title contention to disappear this year then, in 2021, or, you know, will we somebody be able to sort of phone up Commander Fitzpatrick to change course and make a tough decision to relinquish Stevie of his duties and his responsibilities, preferably not in one of those planes? Because it's clear to me that the failure this season is that Carl has created an impossible situation for Stevie where he is doomed to fail. We are now seeing the breakdown of relationships, external pressures, fans, BBC pundits, mediocre achievements and little direction. 2021 could see Warrington finishing its own Bermuda Triangle in the Super League, somewhere between Leeds and Catalan. Interestingly, though, it's thought that Bermuda Triangle was caused by gases and coming out of the sea, lots of gases and everything.
You get that with vegan aero.
Yeah, I don't, yeah. I actually did contact Professor Broomhead to correlate where his scuba diving activity was, but he declined to comment. Anyway, that's fails. Now going on to the unexpected, not Bermuda related or anything. I do want to go and live in Bermuda, by the way. This week, I was taken by surprise by the fans' reaction to the loss at Castleford. It was clear that there were many people that were quite disappointed with the loss, but was it really unexpected? Apart from the podcast Eternal Optimist and caveat sympathiser Claire Rayner, aka Sam Sankey, it has been discussed many times on the podcast that this season would likely become an absolute clusterfuck. Yes, when you consider the club are trying to get English fit and fit in, losing Flaky Blake's passport, Cooper barging into Stevie, and now Daryl Powell planning to move to south of the river, where he'll be completely out of his depth transitioning to the middle-class social scene without any off-licence and Greggs within a 20-minute walk. So, it's clear for me that the fans have become blind-shotted. So as a result of the unexpected reaction, I believe fans are in need of some alternative and unexpected activities away from rugby league. Now, I've had a look at a few different things that you could do without Googling any of these. But there's I came across three different ones.
Oh, yeah. What a surprise.
Element collecting, I liked. Thought this was for the Twitter crowd. Collecting each element from the periodic table. Come with a caveat for you, though, Sam. A warning of safety of certain elements, obviously, when you get down there. The radiation ones.
Stevie will be collecting no gold or silver.
Well, perhaps Stevie would prefer dirt polishing. It's a popular pastime for Japanese children. You take a ball of mud and extract the moisture and coat it with fine elements of soil. You can go on to hikarudorongadango.com for the tips on that.
It's, could you spell that
very
for
good
us?
Japanese thing. Yes, it's HIKARU DORODANGO .com. And the last one is...
Did you hear that H then, Sam? No wonder we're wanting to move constituencies.
The third one is collecting nail fluff. Naval fluff. You can call that. This one is collecting naval fluff. Australian Graham Barker holds a record collecting his own naval lint since 1984, 22.1 grams. Jesus. So there's something for you. Now, listen, this isn't the unexpected. I've still got the unexpected to come. Are we all right on the clock? Looking,
no.
Getting all stressed. No. His belly's out. Now, this got me thinking, what does rugby league fans want to do for relaxation? Of course they want a spa day, but maybe it's a spa day with a difference. Now, I've identified a niche in the spa market, and working with our podcast partners, Timothy Taylors, I'm looking to launch the Beer Tour and Spa Day experience at the brewery, offering beer-related treatments. So, I've been looking at some of these treatments, and if you look at the Timothy Taylors website and look at the beers on offer, we're going to open up as you arrive in the day with a cleansing option for £20. This will be the Hopical Hop Tub, like a hot tub, but filled with whole leaf hops to give a full body scrub. So that's a nice start. Then we've got a massage and tan, £30. This is the Ram Tam Rub, a dark beer. It's used to massage, leaving a classic cup of tan level. Straight off the Lions tea chart table there.
I need a holiday.
Refresh, 10. This is a Golden Best shower. Golden Best is a lovely... you're right, Sam. A golden shower to refresh the soul. A facial. This is a Noel Spring peel. This is a full-bodied blonde beer. Delivers a full facial serum that is excellent for the skin. So there's one for you and the wife there. And the Enhance £100 package. This is the Boltmaker Botox. Bold and tasty beer injected into the lips to accentuate the drinking pout, which is always a good one. I didn't have one for landlord. I just put landlord, happy ending. This is the guy in dispatch who'll wank you off for a fiver.
It's time for a new section to the show. Well, I say new. We've just rebadged it. Yes, wait for it. It's time for... It's coming. Yes, here it is. Lockdown. I said lockdown. Yes, lockdown. Lockdown letters. Emails. Texts. Tweets. Twitches. MySpace. Bebo. Friends reunite. Those wankers that write on walls in toilets. You know the ones. Put little dicks on the walls with a sort of hole that turns out to be a glory hole if you stick your cock through it. Not that I'd know that. Anyway, it's time for Lockdown Letters.
Yes, you thought the section had finished, but it's back as a bit of a surprise, possibly to Dennis and Sam. Lockdown letters. We come out of lockdown, hopefully, for the last time on the 21st of June. Fingers crossed.
I hope you've changed that fucking soundbite.
No, I've just played it, Dennis. I've just played it. We've had a letter in, boys. Well, it's an email, and I have to, first of all, say sorry to Mervyn, who it's come in from, because it dropped into our inbox, I think about 3 weeks ago, but it went into spam. So I only saw it yesterday, and I thought it was quite different to all the other emails and tweets we've received this week, which were just a volley of abuse. So I'm going to read it out. He says, hi, Dennis, Sam and Rob. My name is Mervyn Gradient. I grew up in Warrington, and as a consequence, I'm a long-term suffering Warrington fan. I'm now retired and live with my beautiful wife of 45 years in the Garden of England, Kent, having commuted from here into London all my working life. I listen to the podcast mainly from my greenhouse, as my passion is growing orchids. A few weeks ago, during an afternoon of planting bulbs, I heard Dennis talk about the new American Rugby League franchise, and my mind cast back to when I too was part of their United States Rugby League plans. My story starts back in the early 1970s, when former American football player Mike Mayer founded the United States Rugby League with the intention of forming the country's first professional rugby league competition. Between 1976 and 1978, Mayer secured franchising rights from the British Rugby Football League and attempted to attract funding from the British and Australian promoters to help establish a 12-team professional competition. The proposed league would have chiefly relied on attracting American football players who could not make it in the NFL. However, Mayer was unable to find sufficient financial backing, and the league never got off the ground. Did anyone know about this?
No, all new.
During this time, though, tremendous amount of groundwork was put together by Mayer's team, and to make sure they could replicate the product in the US, they sought marketing expertise from a UK company, Imperial Tobacco. At the time, I worked in their advertising department promoting John Player cigarettes. I worked with the British Rugby Football League, which was always my favourite, and the far more glamorous sport of Formula One. I was involved in the campaign behind Mario Andretti's John Player Lotus F1 car. You may remember he was the cheating so-and-so who greased his legs in the TV show Superstars before the squat thrusts. I always think of this when I smile when listening to your theme tune. So based on my resume, I was contracted for the summer to work in the US for Mayer's Rugby League dream. It was an amazing summer of ice-cold, fizzy, low-alcohol beer and hot dogs, a big contrast to when I visited my parents' home in Stockton Heath to watch the likes of John Bevan play at Wilderspool, having before the match washed down another flat, warm Greenall's pint with my dad, God rest his soul, in the causeway. I have to say my experience in the US was that Mayer's marketing team were a great bunch, and had it not been for the gravitational cultural pull of Gridiron, I'm sure the dream could have worked. Unfortunately, even though Mayer's team were all lovely, there were members of his marketing fraternity that didn't share Mayer's rugby league passion and hard work to succeed. I remember a strange and handsome yank I worked with called Mr. Bundy. He was always knocking off early and coming into work late. I think Bundy's passion lay outside the marketing expertise of sport. Ted, as I got to know him, seemed far more focused on home renovations or landscape gardening, as his pickup truck was always laden with shovels, chainsaws and masking tape. Perhaps if Mayer had employed a more dedicated team, I think Rugby League would be well and truly established on the other side of the pond by now. Keep up the good work. I enclose a picture of a primrose and blue orchid. Kind regards, Mervyn Gradient.
Lovely.
I think it's lucky that Mervyn's still here to tell the tale.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there's a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Ah, dear. Right, it's predictions time. Or, well, not quite the predictions we normally do, because the podcast is taking a month off, because I'm off on my holidays. So we'll discuss the Warrington season so far. We'll kind of summarise it of where we think it's at. Sam, we'll start with you, mate. What are you making of the season so far?
Season so far, pretty much where I would have expected us to be. Won some that looking good and lost a couple disappointingly. It's been the same pattern for the last 3 years, hasn't it? I think when you look at the table, the top six probably look like they will be the top six.
So the top six are Saints, Catalans, Wigan, Warrington, Hull and Hull KR. You don't think Castleford will sneak in?
The top five probably look like they're going to be the top five.
Now, I'm not sure if this has come to fruition yet, but when I went to bed last night, there was rumour that two games were going to be called off due to a... I don't know if that's going to take place. So it looks like we are going to be
already looking a bit...
So we're looking more at that win percentages again, aren't we?
Who's been called off?
So Huddersfield against Wigan has been called off, and Leeds versus St Helens is in doubt. So it looks like Warrington versus Wakefield will actually be on the television this Friday.
Yay! Well, we're off for a month, boys, so we should probably just quickly summarise those four games that we're going to miss. We're going to miss Warrington, Wakefield, Saints, Warrington, Warrington Lee, Wigan, Warrington. I've got us down basically for two wins there. I'm saying that our theme of this season is that we'll continue to beat the teams that don't turn up and aren't very good. And when we keep coming up against the good teams that want to play, we lose. So I think we'll beat Wakefield, lose to Saints, beat Lee and lose to Wigan. Dennis?
I totally agree with you there. I think that's exactly the pattern I'm expecting.
Sam?
I see a similar pattern, but I'm going to throw a spanner in the works. We play Lee on Thursday the 24th of June, and on Friday the 25th of June, England play the Exiles team. So I've not got a clue what team will put out against Lee. So it might well be that we lose to Lee, but given that Wigan will have more players playing in that game, that Exiles game, we might actually then beat Wigan.
And do we think that by the time we come back at the start of July, we will still have the same coach? Dennis?
Yeah, because that's the point I was making in the unexpected and things, is that I don't think there's an appetite to actually do anything about it. I think they'll just trundle along. I think, you know, fans need to be aware that this is what's always going to happen this year. They're not going to win anything. So the expectations need to be, unless is it going to be a sudden change. I just don't see it. It's just going to carry on and we'll end up finishing fourth or fifth.
Okay. Sam, you think he'll still be there when we come back in July?
I think almost certainly. I agree with what Dennis has said. I think we'll probably end up fourth, maybe fifth, maybe third, depends on how others react. And basically it's, can he put three good games together at the end of the year, which they've not managed to so far?
Do you think Henderson might be in charge of Lee by the time Warrington play them on the 24th of June?
Depends. What does your insider say?
Well, he was wrong, wasn't he? I was full of aero when he sent me a text that...
So could Henderson be in charge of Warrington? Or could Paul Anderson be the caretaker coach if Stevie were to go?
Interesting. So what do you think, Rob? I mean, do you think any of these changes by the time you get back from your holiday?
I don't really care anymore at the moment. I'm just. It's not upsetting me anymore because I wanted the change last year. I was listening to the Alan Davis podcast, the Tuesday Club, the Arsenal podcast, and they were talking about COVID coaches. That there's so many coaches in sport now you know, in football and in rugby league that would have kind of been moved on had it not been for the fact we've all battened down the hatches. And I think Price is in that COVID coaches group, really, isn't he?
Because you'd have to pay him off, wouldn't you, if you wanted someone else in. And you've not got the money. And as I've said a few times, he's all right. He's not going to pull up any trees. He's not exciting.
We want to fuck the prom queen. We want to fuck the prom queen. We're not settling for all right.
But if he had another 2 years on his contract, that's different. But he's going anyway at the end of the year.
Yeah, but you know what? As a fan, and then you get to half time, I say it again. What are you going to say to a team to motivate them? What is Steve Price going to say? I think, I take the hit with the money. I don't think it's fair to put him in that position because he's just not capable of delivering on it. And let's go all out.
Okay. Okay, that's it. We'll see you back here in July. I'm off on holiday to the Great Barrier Reef. So from a great man that throws up no barriers, catching us with a shoal of statistics, it's a wheel hook up again from Sam.
All the best.
And from a great lad that has no facts, but somehow reefs his way through the shallow waters of this podcast, it's a wave or possibly just a ripple from Dennis.
Good seeing you.
I'm Rob London, mask and snorkel packed, ready in search in Finding Nemo. You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
Darling, darling, apparently south of Warrington's moving into the constituency of Tatton.
Oh, that's wonderful. We should want to go.
Yes, I think it's probably safe now.